Welcome, everyone, to another edition of Community In Depth. I am tickled to have on the phone with us Andy Loken. He is the director of the Elections Department for Dakota County, and he is going to help you get any sort of clarification on anything that you might want to know having to do with the election. Is that too high of a standard for you, Andy?
Well, we'll see what questions you ask. I think we can get them.
I think we can, too. I think you're pretty Johnny on the spot. For people that haven't met you, tell us a little bit about yourself, Andy. How long have you been with the county, and what's your background?
Oh, sure. So I'm Andy Loken. I've been with Dakota County. This will be this month was my eighth year with the county. I started between the primary and the general in 2012. Another presidential election, and I came from the Secretary of State's office. I worked for Secretary Mark Ritchie for a few years before that, and before that I worked for Ramsey County Elections for a guy named Joe Manske. A lot of folks have heard of him. And before that I worked for Governor Ventura, another person.
We've heard of him. So never a dull moment in the world of elections, I bet.
No, it's a wonderful career.
You know, I bet it is. I have the pleasure of working as an election judge also, and it really is where the rubber meets the road. I love that part of our process where people actually can get out and vote, but they don't realize all the things that go on before that process can happen. And I think people sometimes don't understand all of the checks and balances that are in place to ensure that we have a safe election now with COVID, but also a valid election. So first of all, what would you like to tell our listeners about the whole voting process, please?
Oh, sure. What would I say? I'd say it's accessible. It's convenient. We're looking to accept people's ballots. We're not looking to knock people out of the process. We want to facilitate voting for every eligible person in the county. That's what we do.
So voting obviously is something that is a privilege. And who has that privilege, please?
Oh, sure. Anyone who's over 18, been a resident of Minnesota for 20 days, not convicted of a felony or otherwise had their voting rights revoked. That's most of it right there.
So for our listeners that might say, gosh, you know what, I'm still a little leery to go out and vote in person. I did work the primary election in August, so I know that there are quite a few safeguards that have been put in place. Tell people about those, please.
Oh, sure. Well, the State Department of Homeland Security and the county have worked together to provide every polling, and some of the, and the cities as well have worked together to provide every polling place in the county with quite a bit of personal protective equipment for the election judges and for voters if necessary. They've worked to space out the process, and that included disinfectant, hand sanitizers for sanitizing on your way in and out of the polling place, gloves for those who think that's who are looking for that as a protective measure. Like I said, disinfectant, paper towels, and masks for both election judges and for voters who may have shown up to the polling place without one.
So, Andy, tell us a little bit about the election department. What exactly do you do? Because you really push things down, obviously, from the Secretary of State's office, but then you work with counties you work with cities. Tell us exactly how it works.
Oh, sure. Well, you know, a lot of people often think that it's really a hierarchical arrangement that the Secretary of State is telling us what to do, and to some degree they do, and that the county's telling the cities what to do, and to a smaller degree we do as well. However, it's better to think of it as a piece of the pie, where everybody in elections has, every level of government in elections has a role in it, from the feds who regulate campaign finance for their officers, dictate some very basic voter rights, pass large policy-making legislation, to the state, who develops procedures, guides, passes laws and rules, and provides guidance on procedural elements for the election. And then there's the county, who is the main point for absentee voting, voter registration. We provide the ballots and the ballot counters to all of the precincts. And then you go to the cities, and the cities appoint election judges and and establish polling locations, and they get everything there so that, like you say, the rubber meets the road. That really happens at the city.
And so from there, we are hearing terms, obviously, we can start what's referred to as, is it called early voting? Or would you be so kind as to explain the difference between, let's say, an early voting, absentee voting?
The law actually calls early voting the alternative absentee process. A few different absentee voting processes. There's, you know, one that we can talk about a little bit, and that's the one for military and overseas voters. They have a different process. They use different materials in order to get their ballot to us, and they have some different options. For example, we can email a ballot out to them. And then there's the domestic process. We call it the envelope process. This is the where you apply to an office, for example, a county or a city, if you live in one of the larger cities, and they mail you out a set of envelopes and a ballot, and you go through that process to turn in your absentee ballot. You can also do that in person at an election office as well, but it's still done largely with envelopes. And then there's the process, we call it early voting. Some other counties call it direct balloting. That's the process where we've eliminated the majority of the envelopes, and you go in person to an election office, either the county or one of the larger cities, Hastings being one of them, you apply for the absentee ballot basically on the same form. However, person at the counter will then give you a ballot rather than a bunch of paperwork in addition to the ballot, and you can just mark and cast your ballot right there. But that's still an absentee process, and we kind of call it informally early voting.
So that it does start on September 18th, and does that go up right until Election Day, or how does that work, please?
Sure. Actually, the envelope process and the military and overseas ones, those will go until 5 o'clock November 2nd, the day before the election, from September 18th to November 2nd at 5 o'clock. The early voting process, where a voter can deposit their ballot directly into the ballot counter, that begins the seventh day prior to the election, and so that will be on, you caught me not looking at my calendar, it's in October, it's the 27th. So that's when they go right into the office in person, fill out the form, and get given a ballot rather than a bunch of envelopes.
When we hear some of these stories in the news, not on KDWA, of course, but because we are only factual here, but when we hear some of the challenges, can you please help people alleviate any fears they might have about voting by absentee ballot?
Sure. No, it's perfectly, it's totally safe. It's I've not seen anything fraudulent about it, although earlier this year, beginning in April or May, an organization called the Center for Voter Information sent out hundreds of thousands of absentee ballot applications to the county. That precipitated a lot of calls with people thinking that it was maybe illegal. But the reality is that lots of different organizations, political, non-political, non-profit, can get the voter list from the Secretary of State's office and use that to target voters and send them absentee applications to get them to vote. There's nothing wrong with that. The law provides for that. But yeah, we've had a lot of calls with people a little suspicious about what they've received in the mail. But there's nothing to worry about. It just puts them in the same process as any other form that they might have received.
So how does it work? If somebody sends away for or requests an absentee ballot and they don't send it back in, can they actually come in with the ballot and cast it that day of the election, or how does it work, please?
Oh, sure. So once a ballot leaves us, we need it to come back through the process that's prescribed in the law. So if you actually came in with a ballot that you hadn't yet completed, we would certainly help you vote, but we wouldn't have you vote that ballot. We'd want to give you a new ballot. You certainly can, if you haven't completed your absentee, you decided, maybe you haven't made up your mind yet, and you want to go in on Election Day, you can definitely vote like any other voter. We don't knock you off the list because you've applied for a ballot. And in fact, if you've already submitted an absentee ballot, in some cases up until the 14th day in this election, prior to the election, you can submit another absentee ballot. That's called clawback, where they take the first absentee ballot that we received, and we get rid of that one, and we only take your subsequent ballot. The same goes for if you show up to a poll, and we notice that you have an absentee ballot that's been accepted, we won't let you vote at that point. However, if you show up to the poll before your absentee ballot is counted or received by our office, we'll let you vote. And then when your absentee ballot comes in later, we'll reject that ballot.
So people can return their absentee ballots to their regular polling place? How does that work?
No, you should go to the office that issued it to you. So if you went up to the county in Hastings, that's where you should return your ballot. You return it to the return address, actually, that's on the packet that you received from us. If you go to the polling place, what they're going to do is they're going to ask you for your ballot. They're going to take it, and then they'll issue you a new one when you go through the polling place process on Election Day.
Tell us about these ballot drop boxes that we've been hearing about. Do you have any in Dakota County, and what are the safety precautions around them?
Oh, sure. Yep, the county's looking at putting in three ballot drop boxes. They would be out during business hours, and we're also looking at some extended hours for people to drop ballots off that we would announce at a later date. However, these ballot drop boxes will be placed at the front of the buildings in at the Apple Valley Western Service Center, the Northern Service Center in West St. Paul, and the County Administration Center in Hastings. So we're going to have those three locations with drop boxes. Drop boxes are going to be out during business hours and monitored by video surveillance in order to make sure that, you know, they're safe.
So you can alleviate any worries that people have about that process?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. People don't have to interact with anyone. They can just pull up. They're all near the turnaround at the front of the building, get out, drop their ballot in, and take off.
On Election Day, each county obviously has cities that they are working with, because you don't vote as a county, you vote usually as a city. So Hastings, let's just say, they have different wards and precincts, and they will bubble up a total from Hastings, and then that electronically goes to you. How does the night work, election night?
Oh, sure, election night. What will happen is throughout the day, offices will be counting and finishing up the counting of the absentee ballots that they'd received up till that point. Then at the point where the polls close, they will send their election results to the county, and they'll generally have all the absentee ballots done by that point. The polls close, and then the everybody in the polling place gets to vote, so they finish out the line. And I think on election night there might actually be some lines in some locations.
Mm-hmm.
So they'll finish voting, and then they have some tail end procedures that they have to do. For example, they have to make sure that they've deposited all the ballots that were in the auxiliary slot of the ballot counter if they've used it. They have to take out and tally all the write-ins that occurred during the day in that polling place. They have to run their results tape, certify that, make sure that their results tape, which contains a record of the number of ballots that were counted, matches with the number of people who voted in the polling place that day. And if not, where did they make a mistake? So they have to balance out their polling place. And then at that point, generally they'll pack up their polling location, all the voting booths and paperwork and posters and stuff. They'll take all that, and then they'll set it aside for Public Works to pick up later. But a couple of election judges will drive down to City Hall to meet with the city clerk to evaluate the returns that they've received, make sure that they balance. Then the city clerk will take those, will take the memory media from the ballot counter that was used, and they will transmit it to the county office. In the county office, we have a device, we call it an accumulator. What it does is it takes the election results from all the various locations, and it accumulates them and totals them and provides us the reporting that we need to turn around and report to the Secretary of State's office. The Secretary of State's office runs the election night reporting software that's on the website, on their website, that provides statewide results for elections taking place on election day.
So each state is a standalone, and that's how we come up with, in a national election like this November, that's how we come up with the totals?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yep, each state's an island.
So what is your favorite part of this whole process?
What is my favorite part? I like election night because it's exciting. It's all of this thing that we've set up. We've been working on this election for 2 years, at least. It's all of this in action. We spend all this time preparing and planning, and we get to see our plan in action. That's why I like it.
So if somebody's listening and they have not voted before, How easy is it to register in Minnesota, please?
Oh, it's simplicity. Just like applying on, you can apply online, just like you can apply for an absentee ballot online, but you can register to vote online. That's it. Or you can get a form from just about anywhere. Or if you choose to vote through an absentee process, you can, you'll get registered as part of the process. You don't even need to think about your registration status as long as you're eligible when you apply for an absentee ballot, because once you apply, we'll take care of the rest for you by sending you an a voter registration application and the materials necessary to get you registered to vote.
Andy, do you think we will ever just vote online?
No, not in the near future. There's still a lot of people who are extremely concerned about it. For example, you know, we got a few reports today from some intelligence agencies that they're continuing to, that some other folks are continuing to try to mess with our elections. They do that through the internet, through computers. I'm not sure that we're there yet with a solution that's secure enough to guarantee a secure election.
Well, it sure sounds like you guys have your ducks in a row and we're all set for the election again. Or is it called early voting or absentee voting starts September 18th?
The absentee process begins on September 18th.
Perfect. Andy Loken, he's the Director of Elections for Dakota County. And if you have any questions at all, please go onto their website. And there's a whole host of information that they can help you with, where to vote and all those things. So, Andy, thank you so much. Get rest. November will be here before you know it.
Absolutely. Pleasure talking.
Thank you. And you are listening to another edition of Community in Depth on AM 1460 and FM 97.7 KDWA in Hastings.